Cue the music.
Okay. I'm Aaron. This is Noah.
I'm Noah.
This podcast, what's this podcast about, Noah?
Aaron, what are you trying to get at there?
What we do...
Yeah, we're about to explain.
Today we have an expert.
My expertise, happens to be,
What is this show, Noah?
Man.
Schooling Noah with Aaron Maslow and a special guest.
It's a working title.
It's a working title. We don't have
it. We're back.
Yeah, we are back.
We're back at our shenanigans. This is great.
Yeah, we're sorry. Do you need warm up time?
Can
you
do a couple of. I'm ready for it.
Good. Well, let's just go over some details. So, first of all, Noah and I, we love this podcast. We love it so much. We had to take a little break.
Took a few weeks
took
off.
Took a couple breaks. A couple break weeks.
We had that Sam Talent guy on who, he was a little jarring, and I think we needed a little bit of recuperation time.
Right. It was an episode about bullying.
Yeah.
Mm. Where Sam
was
in his
certainly
good gracious,
an expert.
He was an expert, and he showed us his very.
Yeah.
I would say. Aggressive and accurate
portrayal
of a bully. Yeah.
Did he bully you?
Not me, particularly. No. Actually, I felt...
He even bullied himself onto the show, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Remember when I was telling you, like, most people don't ask to come on the show? They say, why haven't you booked us?
Yeah.
There are so many people who have said that who were never going to book you.
Yeah.
It's pretty
so
funny.
Quit asking. Or no
Nobody,
ask.
Well, yeah, actually, because we love to say no.
It's kind of nice. It's nice to say no, you know?
Absolutely.
It's funny to watch Noah say no, because he's like,
And nobody believes me ever.
They're like, are you sure you said no?
It actually is a really damaging part of my life.
Yeah, but you'll get over it.
Who do we got with us today?
Today we have an expert of authoring, and we're very excited to have her. She just published a book, and it's about her life, so we're going to talk a little bit about the process of that, and then we're going to also delve into what the book is about. But
did you want to say her name?
Yeah, welcome everybody, Mimi Hayes.
Mimi Hayes, thank you.
Hey, guys.
All the way from the big city,
the big apple.
Yeah, from the book, from books and magazines and such.
From the top all the way to the middle.
Yeah,
welcome to Denver.
Concrete jungle where dreams are made up. That's what they say.
You're just going to do lyrics the whole rest of the show.
That's the only one I know.
That's all you know. That's a good.
So I gotta tell you, it's gonna be back. Okay, it is.
Yeah, it's
good
hot
to have
here.
You back.
Were you here during the rainstorm?
No,
2 days ago.
Oh yes, I was.
That was actually yesterday.
Yeah,
I was yesterday.
Boy, you had a long couple hours, huh?
What is going on,
dude? Welcome to the podcast.
I thought it was Friday.
You
I took
did.
An
you
hour
see this.
Nap on the dot. It was probably my most concise nap I've taken in years.
You got on the wrong bus to get here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up.
I wasn't going to, and then I know that's what you love.
Hey, and we'll get to your book, which is definitely part.
It's fine.
It's the show, but.
We have a lot
to dissect since we've been gone for so long. I got on the wrong bus. You know me, I'm a bus rider, so
really.
I don't know how it happened.
He's homeless, is what he's trying to say.
I got on. It was packed to the gills. Obviously, nowhere to sit. And the first stop said, First Avenue and Downing. And immediately, I was like, "That is not, that's not Ellsworth and Broadway. That's so far from where I need to be." So,
In New York, I get on subways all the time, and I'm always
New
going the wrong direction.
New York, that's I would see. Yeah, well,
love to
that
get
sounds
lost
fun.
In New
love
York.
To, yeah, that sounds like a. That's a lyric. Love to get lost in, what was it?
Manhattan.
Yeah. I was also had to be here on time, so that's why I was really pissed. And it was hot.
Yeah, you keep saying it's hot.
It's not even
it's not that,
that it's
bad.
Not,
okay,
been that
it's been way
there's
worse
no here. Humidity here. I
no,
don't want to hear it.
I know.
I literally, my freckles are melting off in New York City right now. They're just coming off.
Wow.
Tell me about the heat out there.
Yeah.
Is it is the humidity, but does it feel dirty?
It does, and you just, like, you go in between, like, dirt sweat and, like, subway, like, icky-smelling sweat, and then you get on the subway, and then it's air-conditioned, so you freeze to death. All your sweat just freezes.
Well, that's a nice accommodation.
Yeah,
really.
Sort of a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah, I just different... always just don't
I call them
know.
Juxties.
Juxties.
Juxties? That is adorable.
Isn't that cute? I haven't been that for a while.
Do you ever see the gang from Rent or Spamalot or anything?
No, but I have seen almost the entire cast of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. They ride the subway?
Yeah, and one of them like lives in the neighborhood where I work, and I think our schedules are like timed perfectly because every time I'm like walking to the house where I work, she's like coming down the same street, and I'm like, hi.
You work in a neighborhood that's near a women's correctional facility in the middle of New York City?
No.
New York. Well, when you live by people, you sync up your schedules.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's nice. That's why my asshole neighbor and I are always seeing each other.
That is funny.
God.
You guys have synced up.
Thanks.
Walking the dogs at the same time, on the same side of the street, going the same direction.
He just got a longboard, so he's...
You did? He did.
He did.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
He's doing great.
So does he take you out on it or no?
Not yet.
On his deck nine?
He said once I, do better or get good grades or whatever. I forget what he said.
You know, he's like, Noah, you can ride it when you get your helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That is what he said. You should wear a helmet. Okay, listen.
I know I should.
Do you ever, the heat in New York, like, do you ever think about the old-timey people who used to, like, wear suits and, like Victorian era dresses?
And you know that, like, they're, like, in Brooklyn especially, it's, like, huge Hasidic Jewish community.
Mm.
And
they still wear that stuff.
They're decked out in their full wool hats.
Wool hat.
And their hair, and their, I'm like, whoa, like, how are you still wearing that? It's so hot.
When you have the presence of God, you always feel cool.
Largest population of Jews outside of Israel.
I thought Israel was a smaller population of Jews.
I think that's right. I just wanted to be correct. I'm glad you corrected me.
I didn't correct you. I just
Hey, if you want to learn more, there's a documentary on Netflix about them.
Do you ever
in Brooklyn?
World
really?
War II.
Yeah. Oh, is it
one of Us? I think it's called One of Us or something.
It's about the ones in Brooklyn? I actually do. Yeah. That sounds interesting. Do you ever go to Zabar's?
Oh, yes, I have.
Cool.
It's so cool, actually.
We got
Zabar's.
Zabar's is like the maybe original, one of the more iconic delicatessens in New York.
Okay.
We get it sometimes on special occasions delivered to the house.
From New York to your Denver
white
house.
White fish salad, lox, bagels, just the whole.
How do you order that?
You can order it off their website.
Oh.
And they send it to you in like a ice, contained thing. It's all fresh. It's really delicious.
That's legit.
When it gets there.
It's really great.
It arrives at your doorstep, you're going to want to boil it.
You know what? I didn't realize until recently how close you live to the bagel deli.
There's actually two very near my house. There's the bagel deli, and then there's also, this is not the one I meant to say, but Einstein's Bagels.
Yeah.
And then
the world famous deli, Einstein's Bagels.
But New York.
Which used to be called Noah's Bagels.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So the bagel deli, but also New York deli.
Oh.
What's it called? New York News.
Is that a chain or is it just a one-off?
It's a one-off. They do jazz on Mondays.
Really? Oh, hey. That sounds cool.
I've only ever driven by it, but the marquee seems legit.
Oh, they have a marquee?
Yeah.
New York News. That's sick.
Get there. New York deli news? Bagel news?
Down there.
There's always news in the deli. There's always something to see.
Cranky old man complaining about.
Did you hear about this heat?
Yeah, complaining about,
genetic
laws.
Okay, I actually live above a bodega. Okay?
Oh, really?
And so,
explain for the listeners who aren't familiar what maybe a bodega might be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So it's a deli. It's a little tiny grocery store. They're all over New York City and probably in bigger cities too, but especially New York is like, I just go to the bodega, just go down. There's like stray cats just that live there.
That's
and
fun.
Like the people own these places, live like, in the buildings and stuff. And so I live right above a bodega in Brooklyn, and there's lights, like colorful lights kind of lining the window, and they're always flashing 24/7.
Yeah,
every time I have to get quarters to do my laundry, because luckily I have laundry in the basement of my building, but I need quarters and I'm not just like running around with the quarters all the time, so I have to go get cash and go get quarters, and I need to go to the bodega to do that. So I come down, I'm like, hey, can I get some quarters? And he just looks at me like I'm just the worst human that's ever been a human. So
where else are you supposed to get quarters?
I don't know. People try to hold out on me. I'm like, you know why? Like, or no, he asked me why I need them. That was weird. He was like, why do you need these? And I was like,
why do you
I'm
need
gonna
quarters.
Eat them.
Oh, I go down to the zoo. I go to the zoo and I feed
Fiber.
Them to the penguins.
Yeah.
Sea lions.
I think you should become a hardcore New York sports fan of just one of the teams. And then I think maybe
you could be a Mets head.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think the Mets are a little, they're sort of chip on the shoulder kind of fans. And I think if you go around like that, and maybe you don't know, and maybe you do the research anyway, this is what I would do. And then people won't screw with you.
Just wear like a jersey and just say I'm tough. Well, all of it,
yeah. Okay. And then you probably have to go to the games actually again, to mix, fight some stuff.
Mixed jerseys. Wear like a Rangers Knicks? Jersey. Wear the Knicks hat. I said mix.
You did say mix. I wanted to make sure you knew.
Yeah, I knew what I'm talking about.
Okay, I'm a big hockey fan though.
Okay. Rangers? Islanders?
Yeah. Islanders, sure. Where do they work?
They all work in the same place.
At the sea.
I'm pretty sure they all work at the same place, actually. Except
MSG.
One of those hockey teams.
Monosodium glutamate.
One of those teams probably works at. That's not funny. One of those teams probably works at.
You're an idiot.
The Barclays Center, I assume.
Oh yeah, I know.
What is the Barclays Center?
Barclays Center's in Brooklyn.
An indoor dog park.
What? Sounds oh, that's like really it. Funny. Yeah. That's really funny. Barclays Bank is just where you exchange your dog treats for.
Can I get some quarters? What are you gonna do with them?
Stupid.
At the bank.
You guys are wacky.
Do you have any other New York related things you'd like to ask about? Perfect.
So I would just say it's so different there. Like
totally.
You know.
Is it different than LA? Let's say.
Or like Paris.
Yeah, it's different than those two. Okay.
Talk to me about the difference between Moscow and Paris.
I've never been to Moscow. Paris is nice. I thought Paris... Okay, here's the thing. I thought Paris was, like, dirty.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, it was beautiful, but it was, like, very, like, dirty. Like, there, it just kind of smelled like piss a little bit.
It's a big city.
And then I city. Got to New York, and I was like, oh, wow.
This
no,
is dirty.
This is dirty.
Denver's becoming dirty.
I think so, too.
Is it?
Yeah,
it sort of is. I don't... I mean, maybe that's a bad...
You didn't
Wait,
hear about the street sweepers who went on strike 6 months ago.
That's right.
But they're
oh, wow.
done.
Piled up. We were, I mean, that was hard.
It was a really rough time in our lives.
Jeez. Nah, Denver's becoming a real city. I mean, there's some grime to it, which I think is sort of endearing. But
you know how you know it's becoming a legitimate city is when the downtown area doesn't shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to somebody about that the other night. It was like 5 or 6 years ago, all the bars would be closed on Sundays and Mondays by like whatever 10
yeah,
o'clock.
Yeah, they'll do a brunch People or they'll run after happy hour and then they're done. But now you can, I mean, pretty much any pocket of the city, you can be out till 2 a.m.
That's really true.
People leave, they're like my roommate left the apartment to go party at like 7 a.m.
Going
well,
out,
that's
what
like
are you
an
do?
Alcoholic type thing. That can't be the norm in like places.
You think you're drinking at 7 in the morning?
Well, what does go party mean, right?
Okay, maybe. Okay,
did he go skydiving?
No, okay, maybe it wasn't 7. Maybe, okay, I was back in the apartment. It was like 2 a.m. And she said she was going to go out, but I thought she'd be way long gone by 2 a.m.
You're saying she's
2 a.m.
beginning her night?
Oh,
yeah, she was going to Manhattan at 2 a.m.
Jesus. Where do you...
In New York.
What borough did you say you live in again?
I'm in Flatbush.
Oh.
Is that a borough?
So, yeah, it's like
way... It's in Queens.
No,
that's
in Brooklyn. Yeah.
It's
in
Brooklyn.
Okay,
I know my
yeah, my dad thought I was in Queens too.
I worked with a guy when I was in college, and he used to say there's only two rules in Manhattan. No, in the five boroughs. You get a discount if you pay with cash and no right turn on red.
Oh, really?
That's not true in Staten Island.
Okay.
The two rules in Staten Island are every man, woman, and child for himself, and American currency is not accepted.
But Staten Island is the place.
You know what's weird though is that I'm meeting a lot of people from Denver who've moved to New York, and then a lot of people in New York who are now moving to Denver.
Good. That's what I'm trying
Why
to do. I'll take someone's spot.
In.
I'll take
go to
spot.
Omaha. Let's all get out there. They got that's a gig city.
Shut up.
You're a moron. I hate
you. Root on Creighton University.
Cuties.
Hell yeah, dude. Let's go Hawks.
Blue Jays.
Thanks. Sports.
Bluebirds. Well,
know.
I like it for their teachers.
I like them. Yeah, I like it for their tuition. It's sort of mid-range.
Yeah.
So let's get into it because Noah's losing steam. He's
Make
all,
sure you
he
hit...
got all ramped up about this bus incident.
Yeah.
And then the heat. And now he doesn't know what's going
I'm
on.
I'm supposed to have dinner with the Rents tonight, so it's like.
Oh, my God. You do this every time. You planned
it's been,
too many
It's just happened.
Events.
You know what? I think it's just happened twice in a row, and that's why you think it's been a pattern.
Mimi, we've had this on the books for how long?
Oh, what?
How long have we had this appointment?
Oh, yeah. For a few weeks now.
A few weeks. Probably a month.
Yeah,
you had
I see
time.
What you're saying. No, I'm not saying that we have to rush through. I'm just saying that is
you need
what's
to get
happening
out of here.
Tonight.
You guys take your time. I'm going to leave when I'm ready.
Hilarious.
Noah Reynolds.
No. If that's what you think I'm saying, then you're wrong.
Am I hearing you wrong?
So
Mimi just wrote a book. What is the name of this book?
It's called I'll Be Okay. It's Just a Hole in My Head.
Okay.
Yeah.
And That is an interesting title. That's a lot of words for a title.
Yeah, yeah. It has a subtitle too.
Does it really? Let me ask you about subtitles. Do you colon or do you semicolon?
I was actually going to ask.
Are you serious?
The exact same question. Or hyphen.
I don't do either of those. It's just underneath. Or it, actually, in my case, it's on the top. So it says on the top, a memoir on heartbreak and head trauma.
Uptitle.
Yeah.
I was
uptitle.
Pre-title.
Yeah.
Pre-title.
Here's the name of the
title,
book.
I'll be okay. It's just a hole in my head.
How do you find that book in a card catalog?
You said just I'll be okay. You just Google I'll be okay and Meme Hayes, and then you'll find me.
Now, yeah. What is Google?
First words.
Come now.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Of course, I know what Google is.
Do you want to?
Do you know the top search on Bing is Google?
Oh, I don't believe harsh. That.
Now, I don't know if you gave it to Aaron. I didn't receive a copy of the book. Usually, when we have authors on, they give us a copy of the book to read beforehand.
Oh yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick synopsis since I didn't get
yeah,
to
yeah for sure sorry no they're in my car
oh that's okay
is that so I won't be able to read right it
right now.
you won't be able to read it right now. Okay, that's weird. You should just be able to read it right now.
Well,
how many pages is it? Because he has a hard stop.
We're in the middle of a podcast, Mimi. So,
can he read it before bed? Because yeah, his parents get sleepy, yeah, and so does he.
It's called I'll Be Okay. It's just a hole in my head, and it's a memoir I started when I was getting very sick. I was 5 days into my student teaching, which no one knows because I was actually kind of his student teacher at the time.
That's right,
in high school.
Correct.
Senior year.
Senior year. Yeah. Would have been senior year.
Yeah. So Noah was a senior. I was a little newbie baby teacher. I came in. I didn't actually teach your classes. I was with the freshmen, but I remember right. I subbed a bunch of your classes. Eventually.
Yeah. We had like 10 kids in the class because there was special no reason needs. For. Well, it was a special. They put me in. Well, I'm
you
not gonna
needed
explain.
Attention in a special way for your.
There were like 10 kids
learning,
in the class, so it didn't make
inability.
Any sense. Great teacher, though. Mm-hmm. Still love that teacher. But anyway, continue. Sorry. Setting the scene.
You were a student teacher.
So I was...
Wait, time out real quick. Yeah. How old is a student teacher, generally?
I was 22.
And you guys were...
Jesus Christ.
Noah was...
That's crazy.
That's not a big difference.
I'll be 22 in December.
Oh, my God. Yes. You could be student teaching in no time.
Yeah. I would... What would I do before I student taught?
Anything else? Did you like being a
kill
teacher?
A baby.
Are you still a teacher?
So should we start? Should I tell you the story? Or should I tell you about? Yeah, I should tell you.
Yeah, you're interrupting quite a lot.
All right,
so
tell us the story.
I got 5 days in, and I was feeling pretty off. I was kind of unbalanced. I was like tripping, like over nothing. My ears were kind of doing this weird throbby thing.
Was
and,
it the lead in the water?
No, okay, I was going. Pretty convinced it was like it was just me getting sick because like being a teacher, you're around a bunch of germy kiddos.
Right.
So I was like, okay, I'm just getting sick again. And then eventually I ended up in the emergency room because I couldn't like even move my head without like throwing up. And I was like, okay, this is like something bigger maybe. And finally, after my mother like, I won't say threatened because she always listens to these podcasts, but I will say she strongly... had a conversation with an ER person and she
had a knife.
She did have no weapons. But she just took me down to the ER again and said, we're not going to leave until you do an MRI, figure out what's going on. My mom's also a psychologist. So she was kind of like, something's weird.
Mother's
so
intuition
right.
and
know.
Degrees.
Right. So she doesn't have any real medical background.
No, but she's my mama.
Kidding.
So
I'm kidding. She sounds great.
She
so,
sounds wonderful.
They found what was a cavernous angioma, which it was just a clump of cells hanging out in my head that...
Yeah, explain it for Aaron, I actually
That's funny
know
because
what it
Noah's
is.
Nickname in high school was clump of cells.
Noah's cavernous.
No.
Because you're just so open and full of
Thank
knowledge.
You.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, I don't think so.
So if you're not in psychology class right now, like Noah, then the cavernous angioma is just a clump of cells. And for me, I think because I was stressed and I was coming off of also a very heavy trauma with a breakup right after college, a lot of new things were happening in my life.
This is all in one book?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Goodness.
It's in the title.
It sounds like it's about 80 pages.
Yeah, so it's so
going through the breakup.
Oh yeah, that was just traumatic. And then they diagnosed me and said, "Yeah, your head's bleeding. We don't really want to touch it right now because it seems kind of dangerous to do that. So why don't you just go home and rest up for a bit?
You're too helpless to help. So take care."
He's like our surgeons or something that tell you this.
Yeah,
or the
like
MRI
the neurosurgeon.
People?
Yeah, he was like, "You know, we don't want to go in there right now. Let's see if the blood will like reabsorb."
It's too icky. We're gonna wait a few weeks until it's less icky.
That's weird because isn't blood like poisonous outside of your arteries?
It totally
and veins?
Is. But I think sometimes it can like reabsorb. I don't know how or why or where it came from, but it ended up in this little clumpy.
I can tell
cells.
You afterwards.
Yeah,
after
you
the
can
pod.
Educate. Yes. Yeah. So
let old clumpy.
The clumpy actually got bigger, you guys, over that course of like a month when I was at home, not student teaching Noah.
Did you get disability?
Well, we did great.
For this?
What's that?
Do you get disability when you're?
I actually haven't applied. I'm pretty able now. I feel like that'd be really shady of me to apply for disability. But
not? You're American.
I know, but you know, I can walk and see and stuff now. So I couldn't
How noble.
For a while.
How noble. I am really proud of you.
Aw, thank you. Yeah, so I was just at home, like, kicking it old school, watching Netflix, not teaching, which was killing me because I really wanted to be a teacher.
Right.
You just got out of school.
I just got into it, and I was really excited to be a teacher, and I wanted my whole life to do that, and now all of a sudden I couldn't. So then some symptoms started coming in really strong. I lost about 20 pounds of muscle mass. Jeez. And I was like a runner and I was also like a hockey player. So I like really was like getting.
Did all that muscle mass go to your clump?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know.
What?
It's got to go somewhere.
Science.
What? I missed it. What's it a clump of? Cells?
Cavernous.
Yeah, cells.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
But also a cavern? Ironic.
I guess. Yeah, a area. So over that month of time, I kind of like started atrophying and my body, like I looked like I was a stroke victim. And Jeez. So like my left side of my body wasn't working, lost a lot of muscle. My vision went double. So mm-hmm. I was seeing double full time. And then towards the end, when things got apparently scary, although I was still joking about it, I temporarily lost my taste buds on the left side of my tongue, which I was like, oh yeah, this is normal. And
well, that is hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. But when I had said that out loud to my family, they immediately called the neurosurgeon, and he brought me in for a second MRI, and it gotten bigger.
He's
so
like, holy
clump.
Shit, I forgot about you.
Yeah.
Oh, God, we really? Had to check
How
on you.
How long did I say to
ago?
Leave it alone? A month? Oh, my God.
Oh, wow, you.
A week max.
Thanks for following
Very
up.
Max.
We really dropped the ball.
Your parents didn't do the classic, like, blindfold and tell us what this tastes like. Like
is that
gag
a,
no,
before they
I
called
just,
them.
What I just noticed.
Oh, because she couldn't taste.
Anyway.
Is that how you treat your stroke friends?
That would be really, you shouldn't.
Anyway.
Do that.
So I don't have friends. One yet, so we'll see.
Yeah. So
a stroke or a friend? What do you want out of
Hey,
this?
You guys,
what are you
trying
get
to along, please.
Yeah,
okay?
I want you to be a little bit more serious.
I like how you called the teenagers kiddos, and even though you're 22.
I was a kiddo myself. And nuggets. Sometimes I call my students nuggets.
I mean, I was 17. I was a kiddo.
Yeah.
I know.
And that's even what like the doctors are like, are you ready to go home, kiddo? Like, you know, like
I would be infuriated.
I was like, please
said
don't
that
call
me
that.
Me. Yeah.
Today you would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or then too, because I had sort of a Anyway.
I don't believe it.
So people really didn't take my symptoms that seriously. But then once things were getting like,
well,
yeah. Because
you were joking about them.
I was.
Oh,
like,
you want
yeah.
people to take
problem.
You serious?
I
why don't you take you serious?
Yeah. And look at me. Yeah. There are two of you, even though there's one of you.
Yeah. Look at my money has doubled.
So then they actually scheduled a brain surgery on October 3rd, 2014. And they went in and grabbed that clumpy. And it was actually like, of smashing success of
wow.
surgery.
Yeah.
But when I came out of the surgery, first of all, I thought I was dead and I had like woken up like prematurely.
Yeah.
Like you hear those horror stories about people like waking up during brain surgery.
I'm hearing about one right now.
Yeah.
I thought you have to be awake during brain surgery.
Oh,
so
I don't know about that. Maybe.
Haven't you
well,
ever
I've
seen
heard
those,
that as well.
Haven't you ever seen those videos of people like playing, maybe it's certain types of brain surgery, playing like guitar and they'll like be like, all right, like AC/DC and then they'll be like good at guitar or something.
Oh, I have to check
because it's like
because
they have to like keep you alive to know, keep you like conscious to know that they're doing all right. Because like they hit something and you like speak Spanish. And it's like, that's wrong. We're doing something wrong right now. And we can tell because this guy is awake. There's I've seen videos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a documentary about it. It's more about elbow surgery, about this little kid. And then he breaks his arm. He has elbow surgery. And then he goes and plays for the Cubs.
Wow, right. That's cooler
they
than
kept him
that sounds so. God, that sounds so wrong.
So I can tell you, I was fully asleep, but when I came to was when we started learning just how crazy it got in there because I woke up and now my vision was double and sideways.
Whoa, what does that mean?
So that means I woke up and I was like, okay, who strapped me to this bed? Like I thought someone had flipped the bed on its side and strapped me to it. And
hilarious gag for someone coming out of surgery, by the way.
That wasn't a neurosurgeon. That was our clown. Children's clown.
Sure. They should. And yeah, so I came out of it. And as I'm coming off of the anesthesia, I did not know this. Oh, yeah. I didn't know this. They put you in a room full of other people who are coming off of anesthesia, which is just a wacky concept.
That's
first
pretty
of
funny.
All.
Like a detox in the hospital.
Yeah.
That's
but
a good.
All in the same room.
See, that is funny. That's a good.
That's a sketch.
Yeah, that's a good premise. Bit.
So first character in this sketch here, AKA real life, you'll read about it. I'm coming out of, you know, the anesthesia and all I can hear, because I can't see, and I'm really, like, feeling good because I'm on all these brain drugs, but I can't, like, move my body really at all, you know? Jesus. And I hear this, like, Helen, sit down, Helen, what are you doing, Helen, you know? And, like, they were just, like, yelling at this woman named Helen. And I was like, okay, first of all, Helen needs to shut up because I'm trying to take a nap. And so I just kind of tried to find my nurse in the void of whatever was happening. I looked, tried to look at her. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is up with Helen? And she just started laughing. So I don't really know if Helen is a real thing or if I made that up. Because
that
I
sounds
on drugs.
That's terrifying. That sounds like a real opening to a horror film.
Is that All Quiet on the Western Front? Or what is it? Johnny Get His Gun?
No, God.
Where
what are you
like,
trying to reference?
It's a book. Thing about a soldier who comes back from the war and he thinks he's dead, but he's got
Slaughterhouse Five.
No, you're thinking
the
of Slaughterhouse.
Sense. The Sixth Sense.
You're thinking of Sixth Sense. This is a
Slaughterhouse Nine.
The guy has basically no
four
senses.
Books after Slaughterhouse.
He's got
Five?
No arms or legs.
Oh,
and
wait a minute.
He can't see.
That
he's
sounds
deaf.
Like a catch 22.
Wait a minute. I keep talking. I know this. I've heard of
and
it.
Then
yeah.
The only way he can communicate is through like eye movement, through basically doing Morse code.
My left foot.
I believe that's right. Yeah. Daniel Day-Lewis was in this book.
Phantom Thread?
I'm pretty sure it's.
I totally.
All Quiet
this is
on
a
the
thing.
Western
this
front.
Is nothing.
No.
It's definitely
Johnny
not.
If you guys know the answers out there, go ahead and text us.
Yeah.
We can also look it up because we're not above that
no.
garbage on this podcast.
Sure.
Look at me. Look at where my knee is now.
Yeah, your knee is up. Bad. Your knee is
but
in your chest.
I tell you, like, so that was insane. That was nuts, you know. But eventually the vision did correct itself. And they did that actually, get this, very DIY. They fixed my double vision with a piece of clear tape over my glasses.
Oh.
They just put it right over where my eye is. And that tricked my brain into seeing singular again. And they just kind of like flopped it back. Like they would do one lens and then they would take the tape off, put it on the other lens, just to like try it out on both eyes. And I can see totally fine now.
Better than before? So, should we all have brain mass?
If anyone's seeing double, that's just what they have to do.
How was your mother throughout this whole thing?
Oh my God, my mom is amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she's
amazing.
A doctor.
Doctor of psychology.
Amazing.
She really held it down. I mean, she held it together. I think this was way harder on my parents than it was for me because I would just
really
yeah. No, I mean that because like I wasn't like emotionally
no, I'm sure
you know handling things. I was just like meh, meh, meh. I mean, like in the hospital too. Like I was like playing with all the stuff around me, like the little heart monitor things on your fingers, and I was like ET phone. Home.
Those are fun.
I'll be right. You know, my mom's like, okay, I really need to hold it together
they're
because
like,
this is
Mimi,
very
that
scary.
Costs very a lot of money.
Please don't break the things.
Yeah.
Can I tell you this? As a parent of several children,
yeah.
I feel
still?
I know. Your parents, yeah, still. Well, I mean, we had more than we. It doesn't. We had a lot of. You feel a bit of guilt when your child is defective. You feel like, oh man, I made a bad one.
Nobody talks about how selfish sick people are. You know.
Yeah. I mean,
well, you don't
yeah,
wanna
put
wish
yourself the, there. That would be terrifying for you if your kid got sick, right?
Yeah. If you made a bad product and then you put it out there,
You would take that on, really? Wouldn't if you your kid had brain hemorrhage, you would be like, I'm a bad dad.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
What did you eat? Too many Lunchables? And you have like a brain
what?
Tumor?
No, come on.
So. What do you think it was?
Yeah. How do you get these things?
And try to be funny about it. Yeah. Don't,
Honestly, I think my body was just like, A, traumatized at being with a person for 5 years and then having them walk out and trying to cope. And then
this is stress related.
I think it was. It had to have been because, I mean, the nugget was there my whole life. I think it was just timely that this happened now. Because,
your own little brain student.
Yeah, I'm a little brain.
Yeah, is there, did they compare to anything? Because to me, that sounds like some sort of tumor or like growth.
I think a tumor is any kind of growth.
It wasn't a tumor.
Not a tumor.
So. And that's how they said it?
I was referencing something. You obviously didn't get it.
He's very
good. No, I do get it.
Isn't it? What is it, Noah?
Yeah, Noah.
Say it again.
So much.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah.
I guess I didn't
have
the
accent,
right?
We all get it. Amani Tuma.
We all get it.
It's from childhood development.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
As an elementary school teacher.
Yeah.
The boxer?
A.K.A. an undercover cop.
Yes.
And then it's called Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
And then the principal's an old lady.
So you don't think it was like doing drugs?
Yeah, it wasn't hard brain drugs.
Because
it sounds
alcoholism.
Like you've been doing a lot of brain drugs.
No. Although I've heard that, like, you know, actually women who take birth control sometimes have like brain issues sometimes.
Really?
But
I agree strongly with that.
I don't even know if that's a thing.
Well,
so,
I know that vaccinating your children for the flu
spreading rumors.
Makes them breed at a 12th grade level when they're 20 or something.
I mean, I'm not going to pin this on anyone or anything. I think this is just what my life needed to do because, A, my body was – I had not been paying attention to my body.
You blame
I had not
God.
Been,
I get it.
I hadn't been like respecting my body and I've been like doing a lot of things and just pushing. And at some point I just kind of broke. I just broke because my body was just like, this is just too much. It's just too much right now.
So what were some of the things that led you into the stress? So you said you came out of a 5-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you were 22. You had dated somebody out of high school.
Yeah.
That's even hard to imagine. Yeah. And I did that and am doing that.
Currently.
How many times? How many brain growths have I had? Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Stress.
Yeah, three.
I mean,
yep.
Yeah.
Little nuggets.
Yeah,
two of them are twins.
Yeah, they are.
They're cute.
They are cuties.
Yeah.
So what can you say the guy's name? Do you say the guy's name in the book?
I changed his name.
Oh man. Can I guess what it is?
I guess.
It's probably like
a terrible name.
It's probably like Vin or Lincoln.
Is it Beauregard?
No.
Aren't those terrible names?
Yeah, they are.
Beauregard, I like that name. That's a good dog name.
Yes.
Our friend,
it wasn't a dog.
Our friend has a dog named Bo, and our other friend has a dog
name Regard?
Named Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Regard. Come Regard.
What, were you writing this whole time? The whole process?
So I started writing around this time of year, actually. It was like mid-September, and I went on a walk, quote-unquote walk around the neighborhood, me dragging my body down the sidewalk.
Still in Denver?
The nurses
in Aurora.
Pushing you in a wheelchair?
No, just a friend. I like had all these friends who would come by and take me on walks. Uh-huh. Like I was a dog. Like I was a little Beauregard.
Cool. Yeah,
you
got
to let her out 3 times a day or she'll piddle on the garbage.
Yeah. So I was walking with my friend and, you know, I just kind of was like laughing at how sad my life was. And I was like, wow, breakup, brain hemorrhage. LOL. And she's
those
like,
are just two things.
Those
just
are character
two.
I think somebody could probably get a third in
right.
I feel like you didn't go to war.
Yeah. I didn't go to war. You're right.
Yeah, imagine if you came back a veteran, got broken up with, and then had a brain hemorrhage.
Damn.
Hey, you know, stranger things have happened, I guess.
What branch were you in of military?
I was in the one where you
I think you have an extra chapter
teach,
to add.
Yeah, you teach people how to go to war.
Take a little poetic license.
Yeah.
And
drill instructor, I think, is the branch. Anyway.
So Dennis was in your life for a long time. And he
was a menace.
Explain that. So you guys fell in love in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that why you wanted to teach high schoolers? So you
no,
fall
he
in
actually
love
didn't.
Again?
He didn't necessarily think I was smart enough to be a teacher. And he like told me that just because I didn't have a very good memory even before my head injury. This is like I was in college with getting my history degree, and I was really struggling because I just couldn't retain a lot of information. even if I was there at every class taking all the notes, studying, I just like still couldn't really hang on to any of the details. And he's like, yeah, you can't be a history teacher if you can't like rattle off random facts and names of Civil War generals.
Does he know that as a teacher you're telling the kids to remember the stuff?
Yeah, you plan
the
lesson.
He knows how teachers work.
Yeah, I don't know. If there's a dummy in this relationship, it's
all right,
Donald.
Kids, today we're taking a test, including me. I'm taking the test today also because
I used to actually do the assignments with kids sometimes to try to get them to do it because I thought maybe if I showed them that I was doing it, but sometimes that didn't work. Then I was just doing the worksheet that I made for them and they were like, you're lame. And I was like, okay,
you're yeah, you can't.
That is,
you can't help
that
children.
That is lame.
There's no helping kids.
They're hard. They're tough, right, Noah? But you know what was interesting was that. So I was writing the book, right? I started writing the book when my friend was like, "Hey, you should write a book," and I was like, "Okay, great." And
we're
I started
sick
writing.
Of walking you.
She was really done with it. She was just like, "You just need to sit down and write a book for years." So I started writing, and then I had the brain surgery, and then I like kind of. My body was coming back slowly, so I kind of did. I was able to type now with both hands eventually, so I started writing again, and then I had to like stop writing because I was a teacher again. I went back to the classroom just a few months after my brain surgery to a round of applause, which was very sweet. It came in the classroom, and Noah and his little nine other classmates gave me a little round
did
of
you
applause.
Remember her?
Yeah, of course.
You're like, oh, that's that one chick that almost died. Yeah, she's
no,
back.
We got updates and stuff.
At your high school, I feel like there was lots of that.
Lots of what?
That one chick that almost died.
Well,
your high school is rough.
Yeah, I mean, kids were getting shot and stabbed in the hallways.
Right.
So
that's not true, Noah.
Yeah.
Oh,
Noah.
Well, I mean, you just admitted on this podcast that you were absent for, what, 9 months? 6 months? So I don't know.
Four. Okay,
how
four.
Good of a judge you are. No, you're right. It was a very safe school. I, you know.
The part you were in.
I facilitated a few kidnappings and whatever, but it's fine.
Yeah, so I got back and the kids were really nice and everyone was treating me really well, and still a couple like power struggles and like kids challenging my authority, but for the most part they were like, yeah, she almost died, we should maybe go easy on her just a little bit. Which was not the case when I got my first classroom. After student teaching, they pushed all my buttons.
Oh,
and I love them. I just saw them the other day. I went to the high school to give a motivational talk.
What year are they now?
Wait, actually, I only know the juniors and seniors there now because I've been gone for a year, and then this school year just started, so I don't know the freshmen or the sophomores. And at your school, Noah, I probably don't know any of those kids anymore. Yeah,
I don't know any of them. I try to go and meet new kids like during lunch and stuff, and none of them want anything to do with
me. Sir, you have to leave.
Hey, Noah, class of 2015, are you, what year are you guys? You want to hang out? Or? No, I don't know anyone there.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't even imagine walking back in my high school, even a year or two after graduating.
It's really trippy. And like, also, I came back yesterday, not just like to the high school where I taught, but like to the high school where I taught to give a talk about like, the book that just came out, like that I wrote. Like, it was just very trippy.
Totally.
And some of my students
showed up drunk.
Brain drugs. They're called brain drugs.
Yeah, it's called I'm on medication. Wow, how insensitive. No,
does that make you a better public speaker?
No, I don't do that.
By the way,
no.
What is your addiction? Is it opiates?
No, it's happiness.
Happiness.
Happy.
Hell yeah.
That's a weird thing.
No.
It's really cool, though. Like, since moving to New York and, like, getting the book deal, some of my old students now, I've allowed them to follow me on Facebook. I'm like, I'm fine with this now that I don't work here anymore. It's fine now.
Too many teachers do that way too early.
It's just, you
shouldn't.
I don't have
many teacher Facebook friends. I have a few.
I thought Facebook was dying out with the youth.
Yeah, you know what's weird is that's what they said, but nobody, I don't think really, I took it off my phone and that was my big move for myself, and it's actually been way inconvenient. So
I gotta find a computer.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, Noah, didn't you see the open mic isn't going on tonight? They posted on Facebook. That's actually the extent of the inconvenience.
Don't you have self-control just to not look?
You're not, what?
Just put it on your phone, but don't look at it unless you need to.
Whatever, Aaron. It also takes up a lot of space. It also takes up a lot of space.
Oh, you don't know
his phone. Right.
He's got a flip phone with a camera.
Oh, really?
No. He's just saying stuff.
So now, how did you publish the book? So you wrote this thing. Who edited it?
Mostly me. While I was teaching, I started kind of reaching out to like some coaches, like some writing coaches, and they were like kind of asking me questions, putting me through like putting me through these activities that were helping me edit my own book. And then when I got to New York, I just started. I had been pitching it to agents for a few years, and I wasn't getting anything because I was a little nobody.
What does that look like? You were just filling like
FBI,
sending,
CIA, yeah. or
no? I was just emailing, just cold emailing agents, and picking agents that I thought might want to represent my book. You know, like
how many publishers are there?
Oh, a gazillion. I mean,
really?
And the book is finished at this point.
It's printed. When you're,
No, I'm today, sorry. When you're finished, when you're emailing agents,
You're sending a full manuscript.
Mostly, they don't. You can't send a manuscript until they ask for it. Okay. So you can send a it's called a query letter. Query letter.
Yeah. They still call it that in 2018?
I know. You really should be
Query. Query. To say that? Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
So it's a letter, Noah, and it's a pitch for your book. It's an explanation. This is what my book is about. This is what it's called. This is how many words it is. Here's me. Here's what I do. Here's my credentials, which I didn't have any. So I was just like, trust me, it's good. Yeah. And nobody took it at all.
Interesting.
And yeah, and so I've been doing that for a long time. So then when I went to New York, I was still looking for agents and stuff, but then I was just kind of also hitting up like comedy shows.
Sure.
Because I needed that in my life.
And we should mention you're a comedian.
Oh, I guess we should talk about that. I'm a stand-up comedian. Yes.
Perfect. That's enough.
All right.
Good. Covered it. Great. So I was going to comedy shows and also just observing. Like, I wasn't necessarily, like, ready to jump in a lot of things, but I was like, I'm just going to go to some comedy shows and see what's up. So I went to one and ended up talking to this guy after the show, and just the nicest guy, Aaron, is awesome. And
Sounds like a dream.
He was just asking me about who I was and what I was doing there because he was like, you're new. Like, you know, you're a new face in this club. So what are you doing here? And said that I had written a book. And I was very, like, kind of shameful about it. I was like, it doesn't matter. It's not published. Why would you ask about it? That's
sure.
lame. But he was like, no, just tell me about it. What is it? And I told him about the book. And he's like, yeah, I know a publisher. Do you want me to, like, send him your first 10 pages? And that is the story. That is how this happened, folks.
Who
so
you know?
It kind of is. Know. And not just that, but like I put myself in that position and was vulnerable. And like I could have stayed in that night. I actually like was thinking about it because I was like seeing a guy at the time and he was like, stay home. And I was like, no, I think I want to go out without you. Like,
I think you're causing my brain to clump.
I think I'm just feeling like I need to get away. So I, you know, was just putting myself in different places just to see what would stick, and I was open enough to talk about it, and that's how you got stuff done. It's yes, like there was years of hard work and years of writing and rewriting and, you know, investing and paying people, and like it was just a lot of work, but what it came down to was like a conversation and at a comedy club, you know. So
but had you not been ready for that, there would have been a lot more work on your part,
so. And I don't think that could have happened to me here.
What are you saying? We're not a big city.
Well, no, the air is too far.
Oh, right. It's about the altitude.
I don't know.
What did you ever think about self-publishing? Like, if in a year or two, you
like
still
a loser
had it?
Might do.
Yeah,
like
I saw somebody. Was at the Mutiny the other day. I want to turn it actually into a bit, but it hasn't been funny yet. Where she had a bunch of books.
Hasn't stopped you before.
It certainly hasn't, and had a bunch of her own books, and. Some guy came up and was like, hey, what do we got going on here? She's like, oh, we're having a book release party. It was just her. There was no we in the scenario. She was at a table by herself.
Is this Mutiny?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have something to say about that. Okay. Yeah. So was she self-published?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So like book signings are like, they sound so cool, right? And like as an author, you get told like, hey, like this bookstore wants you to come to their store and they want you to sign books. And you're like, yeah, like this happened to me like... this week I was going to do two signings in Boulder.
Right.
And I was like, absolutely. I'll go to the Boulder bookstore and it's free. Great. And I was like, I'm stoked. I like got my cute clothes. I did my hair, all that shit. And then I show up and the first place, they had the mic and the stuff and they're like, yeah, you can do a reading. I was like, oh, I didn't even like prepare that, but I guess I'll just flip through my book and like find something. So I read at Innisfree, and it was in a coffee shop.
Helen, which, you know. Helen, Helen, are you real? Helen, the end.
Yeah. But it was like in a coffee shop setting where like there were 10 people just on the computers doing work. And they actually, some of them did look up actually. One lady was about to walk out the door and she stopped and she listened to me and I was like, yeah, I got you. So that was the reading part. And then I was like, yeah, do you have some books? Like, do people maybe want to start buying them? Like, are you selling them here? And they were like, oh, we thought you were bringing them. Like, we don't have your books here yet. They haven't arrived, or we haven't even ordered them. And I was like, oh, okay. And then at the Boulder bookstore, I showed up and I'm like, hi, I'm here for my signing event. And they're like, wait, first of all, who are you? And I was like, okay, this doesn't sound so good. I'm Mimi Hayes. We exchanged emails and told me to come by at this time and I would sign books. And they hadn't received the books either. And they hadn't even given me the space for it. They didn't put me on the schedule.
Well, that's definitely sucks.
Yeah, but I'm saying like that's like not uncommon. Sure. Like if you are trying to run a book event, it's as an author, it's totally on you. Like publishers just don't necessarily invest in that anymore.
For sure. And I wasn't trying to.
Oh no, I know.
Make a joke about it or
make a joke, like I said earlier about this.
I know.
But we should say about Mutiny that Jim, the owner, was you talked to him today and were able to sell a few of your books. So
yeah, there's a few over there at Mutiny.
Well, that's what's cool is he is a huge supporter of pretty much anybody that goes in and pitches him something that is cool and that he likes. So
big shout out.
My guess is, you know, I don't want to because I feel bad, but it was. I mean, you see book signings there all the time. Mm-hmm. It's a cool spot. And that's sort of a bummer that you got screwed like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's not much you can do about it. Like,
how many book signings have you had thus far? Good or bad?
That was the two that I did. Actually, I did one today that was actually very successful.
There you go.
I went to Spalding Rehab Center, which is where I was relearning how to do all those things. That's my hospital. So I talked to my old physical therapist who still works there, and I was like, yeah, I'm coming back with these books, by the way, publishing them, you know.
You brought your books this time. Yes, they didn't have the books there.
Yeah, so I brought a box, and she also sprung it on me the night before that Fox 31 was coming.
Oh.
So she's like, oh, P.S., we somehow got in contact with Fox 31, so they're going to be at Spalding interviewing us before you do your book signing.
Oh, wow.
And so we did that, and I was like, okay, what? This is great. And then I went down to the next floor, and she had a whole setup.
Wow.
My the kitchen lady, her name is Rosie.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen her in a few years. No, it's Rosie. Her name is Rosie. And she took care of me. She really, really did in the hospital. And when she saw me, she just burst into tears. And I burst into tears. And they caught it on the camera. And I was like, ah, Rosie. So I gave her a book and signed it. And she catered the whole, like, she had made all this food for me.
Wow.
And, like, the whole staff came down and had seats. And then my therapist was like, hey, do you want to, like, tell them your story? And I was like, I didn't prepare anything, but let me just stand here and tell you about my journey.
First of all, what kind of book tour is this? You're not prepared for any of these.
Unconventional. I know, this stuff just happens. It's coming about, you know, it's just kind of popping off. Yeah. But
do you have like a 2-minute or like how long on the news do you get to promote your book?
So the Fox 31 thing was about a half hour, like they'd interviewed me and then my PT, and then we kind of rolled around the like gym and played with stuff, and they caught it on camera. It was adorable. I haven't seen it. I think it's airing.
Like how
now.
Puppies are.
What?
You rolled around on the gym?
Yeah, like floor? In a wheelchair, like you know.
Oh, I was thinking like wrestling.
Oh,
or like
no. I thought that too.
I'm so sorry. We did like my old exercises. So when I was sick, I had to learn how to rewalk again. Sure. So you have to do a lot of wacky stuff to like relearn that.
Yeah.
So we were kind of mimicking what I used to do, and
What large pharmaceutical company sponsored your segment? Who were you playing to? What were you promoting?
I wasn't.
I think it's Pfizer, probably.
Pfizer, yeah.
Maybe AstraZeneca.
Sure. They're big proponents of rehab.
Oh, man. I don't know.
No political statements here today.
I don't think so. We don't do politics on the show.
But the signing was great because it was just a bunch of like people who worked in the hospital, and they all were able to buy the book directly from me.
That's really cool. Because
I can do that with my contract. I can resell my book. So I can take a bunch of them to comedy shows and events.
Right.
And then I can be like, yo.
I got merch.
Got your stuff. Let's do it.
So you have a joke about selling your book?
Not yet.
Oh,
but
you better have it.
I'm sure I can make something up.
Talk about if Ernest Hemingway was a stand-up and how he'd be like, I'm going to. If you don't buy my book, I'm going to blow my head off.
How about this? Books for sale. Never used.
Don't like it. Oh, that is sort of funny.
Sort of funny. That's
genius. Do you know
genius.
Any other, like, I mean, obviously a lot of stand-ups who are famous go on later to write books, but let's just talk about
Steve Martin, for example.
Yeah.
I don't know. Doug Stanhope has always been a writer. Adam Caton Holland was a writer by
you know what?
And very active
trade and
he's
profession.
On the back of my book. I hit him up and he gave me what's called a blurb.
Oh, yeah.
I actually do know that.
He is on
that's
the
cool.
back of my
that's
book.
Really
and
cool.
it was he was amazing. He is amazing.
He's my favorite because he followed we have very similar life paths.
You
he
guys
did
went to the same high school.
Same high school, school newspaper at the same place. We both worked at Westword for a time.
Really?
he's very handsome.
He like editor.
He has a beard that's full.
Oh, yeah, yours looks yeah. very similar.
And he's a very talented joke teller. He's very talented and has a TV show and has a
same.
Wife who...
You guys are the exact same in every way.
And he's
I
expecting,
can't think of one.
So, yeah.
Is he really? His memoir is like a bestseller right
I just,
now.
I just started reading like it, and it's very... I can't read it. It's very hard, so I'm probably going to have to take a minute to read it.
Yeah.
Is your book that hard to read, or is it more funny?
Mine?
Is it, you punched
yeah,
it up.
Let's compare.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, his book is about his dead sister. Yours is about
really,
life trauma.
You know, and like, I think we talked, I talked to Adam about that too. I said, you know, like, thank you so much for like, A, just like supporting me.
He's like, who is this?
I'd never actually, you know what? I've never actually met him in person.
He was on
really?
My, he was yeah. on my nice. Funny Final Four, and I think I said hello to him. And I've been here for forever and known about him for forever. And I don't think I've ever had a conversation with
him. I mean, he's real famous right now, you know, but we had had so many mutual friends. I think I added him like when I had heard about him, and I was like, I'm just going to Facebook him, and, you know, just add him and see if he'll, you know, because when you see like those, like you have 100 common friends in Denver comedy, you're like, okay, fine. You know, and you
that's
say
my
yes.
mark. When I hit 100,
the problem is too
somebody.
Many people are friends with too many other people.
Right.
It's like 200 mutual friends.
That's terrifying.
No, most of these friends aren't my friends.
Yeah.
And
anyway.
You get up off the computer and you throw the
go for a jog.
But I will say, like, it's very hard to write about trauma, whether it's like your personal trauma or trauma that you've seen and witnessed.
Yeah.
And I know for him too, like, he wrote that not necessarily like trying, he wasn't trying to be a bestseller. He wasn't like, he no. wanted to like share this story, but like me, like when I started writing the book, I thought I was gonna die. You know, I wasn't like, I wasn't jonesing to like get on TV and like talk about it. Like, it's a very personal and vulnerable place to be.
Right.
So when it does come out and it starts getting successful, you're like, yeah, that's cool, but also I'm terrified, you know? And whether or not people, I'm not really concerned about people giving me negative reviews because I was a high school teacher. P.S.
Right.
I can handle it.
Right.
Stand-up
you know.
Comedian.
Yeah. And like, and yeah, I've had some rough crowds and some crowds that have not really jived, or they just, they're on their phones. They don't care. They're not hearing me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I'll be fine. I really will. I'm not worried about that. But
I could use this rough crowd like a hole in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good one. Way to bring it back.
Zing.
Those those book signings sounded like an open mic or something. That sounded rough.
Horrible.
Also, Boulder sucks. Those two particular places. Innisfree, Malawi. Do you remember Malawi Mingus?
Yeah.
He ran
friend
an,
of the show.
Ran an open mic there once, and I think there was some specific thing that happened, but they got very offended at the stuff they went there. That place sucks.
I used to work. It wasn't Innisfree then. It was called something else, but I used to work there. And I got fired there because I was only working like a shift a week. And they were like, yeah, you should just stop working here. So
that's how they fired you? That was the most gentle.
They're like, yeah, we're just not going to schedule you anymore. Is that cool? And
we're
like,
not
that was,
vibing with your aura.
I was going to school at CU at the time. So like they didn't want students working there. They wanted full time people who were twice my age
retail?
Who were dedicated. Ugh. I don't know.
No, it's right on the hill.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, but you know, start at the bottom, now we're here. Like, I was so surprised
totally.
When I saw that it was in Instagram.
Slinging
I was
books,
like,
now you're writing books.
I have been there before. Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's neat. So what are you...
what's next?
Yeah, where are you going? Because you have an extensive tour, right? A few cities? Many cities?
I do want to hit a couple of cities. I'm totally funding it through, like, GoFundMe right now because, you know, don't really have the cash to shell out a tour, but I'm doing well on GoFundMe, so that's still live.
Get that disability.
I know, I should really. just getting them to pay for me to go do comedy. How do you do that?
Tax breaks. These tax breaks are working out for most people.
Yeah, use the angles. And then pay it back when you get rich and famous.
Shell Corporation.
Yeah.
You know, I think where the money is for me is actually in speaking engagements at like science conventions.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
So I'm doing one in November at the Brain Injury Alliance of Colorado.
It'd be great if science conference. Wasn't such a scam, you know, and the scientific.
Scam?
It would be great if the scientific community wasn't a bunch of con artists. But if you can make money off of them.
You sound like you've been through something.
Yeah, I was beat up by a scientist. I was beat up by a scientist once. And he took my money.
Oh,
I was like,
Noah.
Well, these guys are jerks.
First of all, it was an eighth grader in a lab coat. And second of all,
do you remember, there was a kid
you folded
my senior year, and it's actually crazy. And this is not related to anything. Who, I mean, he had some sort of disability. And it's not funny, but he wore a lab coat to school every single day.
Yeah.
Nothing funny about that.
Yeah. Well.
What do you call him? Doctor? What is
it? I'm sorry. You brought up the eighth grade in the lab coat, and it's the only thing I could think of.
Yet automatic.
Whatever happened to you, I'm really sorry. You didn't deserve it.
No, I know.
Scientists, you know, they're like anybody else. You know, there's good ones and bad ones out there, man.
It's the age of the nerd.
Let me tell you, there are no bad priests. So that's one hole in your argument.
What does that mean?
That's one hole in your argument.
It's a hole in my head, yeah.
Fuck yeah. Oh, actually, I don't know about curse words anymore. That's a discussion we have.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, is this a family situation?
Well, no, but we're supposed to be on the radio, and I don't really know what's up with that.
There's
a lot of work.
So we've been really working hard. I don't think that was the only curse word, actually, this whole thing.
No,
it's
we've
been,
dropped a couple. But it's not major.
I don't think so.
Oh, not in a bad way.
I can reel it in. I'm doing an entirely clean set tomorrow, my book launch. So,
are you?
Yeah.
How long is the set? Because you'll have the event to launch your book, and you're doing comedy there.
Doing live comedy.
How much? Do you have an opener? Like, how do you do that?
No, I am my opener.
Are you going to do an hour? Are you going to do
reading?
No,
I'm going to do like 15. Maybe like
clean.
17. Yeah.
I can't do 15 clean.
I got it.
I'm
ready.
Yeah, I know.
You just turn your curses into swears and you're good
into,
to go.
Mm-hmm.
Look at these mother mm-mm-mms being all like a bunch of pieces of I don't do
so
comedy.
Stupid.
I mean,
the reason
why I did this is because a lot of my friends my age have kids and I want them to come to the launch and not be like, I can't get a sitter.
Right.
So I'm like, well, I don't care. I'm going to have
a
kid station. A lunch? Launch? They can have lunch there. Dinner. I have a mac and cheese food truck at the book launch.
Oh, I saw that
yeah.
on your
no, you can get a really good deal.
Mac and cheese food truck.
Should be there. Well, I think that sounds nice. And then you get to, so you do your bits, you do your little shtick, no, you do a set, you do a comedy set, and then you announce the book, or how does that work?
Yeah, so pretty much it's like an interactive art gallery. So when you come inside, you're going to feel like you're inside of my brain. So everything that's inside has
Holy
to do
smokes.
With the book. So instead of just like reading a chapter for you and being like, there it is, I have like situational stuff. Like, oh, this is like from the book when she was in like therapy and you can do her therapy activities.
Yeah.
And here's like, oh, you can go on one of her blind dates. And like, I have a script of like a blind, like the blind date I went on from the book. And you can like read it with a stranger.
Is this a traveling exhibit?
Oh, I wish it was. It's very expensive. So right now, no, it's not. But what a good idea.
That is a good idea.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Yeah. It's like, it's so intense. And like, I called it like my Mimi's Brain Carnival Extravaganza book launch because...
That was the sub-subtitle.
Sub-sub-subtitle. subtitle. Shit.
Shoot.
Gosh.
What happened?
Damn it.
I hit my knee.
Oh.
He's got
Is it
long
life? Are you
legs.
Dead, though? Did you die?
No.
Do you know what? Noah's got long legs and like a squatty body. He looks like Mike
Do you
from
think I have long legs?
Monsters, Inc. It's like one big eyeball.
You think I have long legs?
I do.
What makes
They're kind of string beanie.
What makes you say that?
Well, I've seen them.
Okay. Well, I guess that's crazy.
I've used my peepers, and I don't even have double vision or nothing.
No, but you know, oh my gosh. Okay, I have to tell you, there's this really cool part of the exhibit where you can try on these goggles and it makes you have multiple vision.
And sideways
Whoa.
Vision?
It's not, but if you turn your head sideways, you can do sideways. But it's like they're rave goggles. I tried to get drunk goggles, but turns out those are like $500.
What?
So,
to rent? To buy?
To buy.
You can't just get those at like Party City?
Well, I think there was some knockoff. I wanted like
the
real deal though. I wanted like... I mean, my uncle's a cop, and I asked him, and he's like, yeah, I can't, I don't have those.
The boys down at the force wouldn't be too pleased. We'd love to help, yes, sweetheart, but we just can't.
But, you know, like, from high school class, like, you know, you wasn't there some class where it was like, you know, you they put all these goggles on you, and they make you walk around, and you have to experience it.
Sort of. We got drunk in high school in class all the time, so we didn't really need the sunglasses.
Were you ever drunk during?
No.
No, you weren't.
Why
you
keep
winking? It was during the day.
You're
I didn't drink. Yeah. I didn't drink in high school. I didn't drink until I was of age. I smoked weed,
so
though.
So yesterday?
Yeah, smoked weed in high school.
Of weed, dude.
Hell yeah, bro.
I used to drink in high school. That was great.
You know what's so annoying, though, is when kids would show up to class high, and you're like, you're not doing any good here.
Yeah,
shouldn't
but
you just be at home on a couch?
I would do it.
Did you catch kids drunk?
Not drunk.
Did you ever call them
high.
Out? If they,
did you ever
kids
find
your would helmet? Be idiot. Kids were idiots.
There
though.
Was nothing
I, was
I
always,
could do. Like
I
was would...
always, kids would like go out and smoke a blunt and then come right back.
Yeah.
And be like, what? I'm high? It's like, you fucking dog. The whole room smells. Oh, what's going on?
Just keep going about your business. I thought it was my wife calling.
And you know what? Now I can't go about my business. It's actually
so Noah, there's as a teacher, it's frustrating because you can't really do anything about that. Like, you can call security, then security will go and like search the kid.
No, yeah,
and they won't find anything. So they'll be like, okay, and they'll send him back to class, and the kid will like eat a pound of Flamin' Hot Cheetos and
hell
leave everything everywhere. And then you know, you
no,
can't
I agree.
Like, do anything
I never.
About it.
I mean, like I said, I never did any of that, and but I knew kids that did. Senior year kids were getting drunk at lunch.
That's
but that's
crazy.
Because it was
well,
lunch.
So. Yeah, new yeah, you always have a lunch beer on Friday.
And then they left. And then a lot of times they left because, what, you're going to go to two more classes after lunch? This is senior year.
I remember kids who would bring, like, they would refill water bottles with vodka and just sit in class and drink.
Or you go to Bocasa and you get one of those fountain drinks and then fill that up with whatever.
That's so sad.
It is really sad.
Like, you weren't allowed to have fountain drinks in high school.
And then you get to college and you're like, what are you supposed to do? And then I get to college. I'm like, this sucks. I'm going to do stand-up. And then wait two more years and then drink and at bars.
Hey, you know, your path is your path, you know? But
that's pretty squirrely.
As long as you're moving forward.
No, that sucks. I'm going to go back to college.
You're going
to
try and motivate him right now?
Listen, he's my kiddo. He's my Nuggets.
Go Nuggets.
Go Nuggets.
You could be a basketball player.
You could.
I'm thinking about it.
No, like, you know what's funny, though? Is before, okay, here's some backstory for you. I had just started doing stand-up comedy when I was student teaching when I got done with my brain surgery.
Right.
I was just doing it low-key, wasn't really telling anybody about it, just kind of doing it.
Yeah, stand-up comedy.
And yeah, and then I always thought, I mean, Noah, you were always like the class clown, cracking your jokes.
I was smart, though.
You
I
were
got
smart.
Good grades.
You were a smart class clown. And
not smart
then,
enough to be a history teacher.
Certainly not.
Oh, my God. So mean of that guy.
Dennis was a
jerk.
So I was at Comedy Works. I think it was probably a new talent or a new faces contest or something. It must have been a new talent night.
Yeah.
And I walked backstage and there's Noah. I'm like, sir, what are you doing here?
I remember
who brought you.
Yeah, I was like, how'd you get inside?
Where's your mom?
And he's like, I'm on the standby list. I'm like, you do comedy now? That's amazing. Yay.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. I don't write my name on the standby list anymore. That's like 2 years ago.
Dude, you got to.
Yeah. So I'm always proud of kids that go into anything that they really are, they care about or they're really good, passionate about and good at. So
yeah.
You
well, that's cool.
Like drugs.
That is
rehab.
Not what I meant.
Still
I never said
that.
Stuff. Didn't
still
say that.
Real there, proud of you, buddy. You really took that heroin thing.
There's
to
some
a
kids
level.
From high school that are rappers that I hate. So good for them.
You hate them or their music?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I like
but
you
know,
John.
What's worse, going to open mics or releasing mixtapes? You know what I'm saying? Releasing mixtapes.
Hey,
mix
you know,
tapes.
I'll tell you this. It's super worth it because. You do enough of the grind. You're in the trenches, right? Just like anything with comedy or teaching, whatever. You just get in there and you do it, and you do it, and you do it, and do it. And then at a certain point, the universe like starts to reward you
right.
for stuff, either because you've worked really hard or because you've worked hard and you're in the right place at the right time. That's when stuff starts to happen.
Can I summarize that in my own life philosophy that
please.
I've told many people? It's
wrap it all up in a tight bow, please.
Sure, sure. We all have to climb a ladder somewhere. You might as well find the shit heap you like and climb that ladder. It's
yeah.
not a really good saying, but
shit
it's something.
What's, I don't want to think, wait, so life is a shit heap?
Well, work is a shit heap.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to climb it.
Yeah.
But you got to be on top one day.
That's really,
that's
really
true.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which shit heap are you climbing, Noah? the podcast shit heap.
Oh, hey, it's a good one to be on. Let me tell you, I just started a podcast, and podcasts are really hot right now.
It's fun.
Yeah.
When Noah's into it, and he doesn't have to be with his parents and eat dinner.
I've been into it. What
mountains.
Are you talking about? I've been a great co-host.
You've been doing great today, yeah.
Noah, you're doing a great job. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Well, okay, so where can people find your book?
Is it? Are we going to be able to get this out in time by tomorrow?
Well,
or if
the
you
book
don't,
will be available.
Yeah.
I think we could probably get this out tomorrow if I don't have to edit too many curses out.
Yeah.
Well, again, we don't know about that.
So
anyway, yeah, go ahead.
So if people want to come to the book launch, it's tomorrow, and I'll open
Friday,
the doors.
Friday, September 21st.
Yes. Happy first day of fall.
Absolutely.
Yeah, come
by. Do you
know
an egg can stand on its end on the fall?
Shut up. Go ahead, Mimi, with the rest of your thing.
So 6:30 at Recreative Denver. You can come. You can get a ticket at the door, or you can get it on Eventbrite.
Great.
And they're $25, and that gets you a signed copy of my book. It gets you entrance into the Brain Exhibit Carnival, and you also get a food and drink ticket. Wow. And it's also a charity event, so all the proceeds go to a brain charity. I forgot to say that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's going to be like a wacky, awesome, fun time. And I'll sign your book there, and it'll be great. And if you can't make it, you can stop by bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon as well. And it is also on my publisher's website, Animal Media Group.
And do you have it on your website?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so MimiHayes.com. And then if you hit the author tab, you shall find my book.
We'll put a link on the website.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Noah, what do you think I should have learned today?
Oh, I think you should have learned that if you live the erratic rock and roll lifestyle like Mimi has lived,
mm-hmm.
then you should be expecting some sort of brain hemorrhage.
Right.
That's just an expectation that you should have.
Yeah.
Aaron, what do you think I should have learned?
I think what is really struck me was, from your experience as a teacher, Mimi.
You're going to make me look like an asshole because you're going to do a real thing, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
So I took my kid to school today.
It's also going to be long.
We walked up to the front of the school and the children were lining up before the bell. And
then the bell rang.
Tell me.
So one of the teachers opened the door for all the kids, and in the least enthusiastic voice, he said, "Let's make it the best Thursday that there's just ever been."
Oh, the teacher said that?
He said it in such a low, sad tone.
Oh, no.
And I'm just glad that you have something to live for. You have something
what?
To eat.
That is, those things are connected.
No, you know, that's sweet, because, you know, when I was teaching, I really had to put on a pretty brave face because I had been through a lot, and it mattered a lot to me to be a teacher because I had almost died. So like, I was like wacky as ever. I was really, really pushing it because I just was so excited to be there. That feeling began to die down, which is why I quit and moved to New York City, because it gets really hard to be a teacher.
Yeah. The world needs less teachers, I think.
Overrated.
Oh, the world needs good teachers. And I think I still am
less
a teacher,
kids.
You know. I think I can teach through my book, and I can teach through my comedy and my talks, because what else am I going to do, you know?
Absolutely. You found a shit heap you like.
I found a shit heap.
Well, we're really glad
awesome.
To have had you. And people
yeah.
should go buy the book. Tell us the name again.
I'll Be Okay, It's Just a Hole in My Head by Mimi Hayes.
Hyphen. Yeah, slash. Forward slash.
What's above?
A memoir on heartbreak and
awesome.
Head trauma.
Cool.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well, that is so cool. Thank you for sharing
yeah,
your story
you.
With
thank
us.
Thank you so
I'm
much
so
for
glad
having me
you.
On.
Congrats. Good luck.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. Can't wait
fun.
To see you guys on Friday.
Yep.
Sweet.
Bye.
Bye. Do we need to check any levels?
What do you need? What does that mean?
Yeah,
what
are
you,
done
radio?
That. Never
what
done
are you,
that
radio
once.
Lady?
Never done that
you
once.
Guy? You know
you
what
know,
you're doing?
Just check some levels
by
out.
By the way, that lotion I just put on is gross smelling.
So, let me smell it.
Do you think
you
so?
You ain't lying, dude. That...
Oh, really?
That smells like hotel lotion. Like a bad hotel. Like motel lotion. kind of lotion.
It's going to suck because I'm going to have to wash my hands, and then my hands are going to get all dried out again.
Yeah,
do you have lotion in your car or something like that?
You know I do.
Okay.
So,
can
yeah,
we get that after?
Yeah.
We'll take care of you.
I want your...
This has been a Sexpot Comedy Joint, collaborative, community-driven comedy produced by Andy Jewett and Kayvon Kalatvari. Headquartered in Denver, Colorado, with technical support from Isaac Miller. Every day at sexpotcomedy.com or at a show near you. Until next time, be well, friends.